Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
This is Jane Burkhart from Starboard Vacations. As a preferred Sandals Beaches agency, our professional travel planning services are free to our clients. We can help find the best Sandals or Beaches resort that fits your budget. Starboard Vacations, calls 662-429-1000.
Welcome in, everybody, late on this Sunday night. The regular season in college baseball is already over. Has that not flown by to you guys? I think in part because football season, in a good way last year, and also in a bad way to some degree, felt like it took forever. That basketball came and went really quick, and then baseball just, boom, disappeared on us. It's already time for postseason baseball. And so that's what we'll talk about tonight. Of course, whatever else comes up in the comments for the next 30 minutes or so. And I'm so glad that you guys are with me on this edition of the podcast. Don't forget to subscribe wherever you get them. Just search Rebel Report and subscribe. And if you like what you hear, leave a rating and a review. And also right here on YouTube, like, subscribe, comment, all that good stuff. I would really appreciate that. And this edition is brought to you in part by Scruggs Farm Lawn and Garden in Saltillo, Mississippi. It's getting hotter. We had one of those random Mississippi unexpected pop-up thunderstorms that came up out of nowhere today. You know summer's coming when you get that, where there's no chance of rain at all day. It's a beautiful day, and then suddenly you look up and there's a thunderstorm. So you know it's getting hot, and you need to go to Scruggs if you are going to do any kind of home or garden or hunting property project. They've got everything that you need for your home, for your property, whatever, under one roof. Also, the cheapest beer in town. Great boot selection. The fishing selection's great. And also, your John Deere lawnmower or tractors. 0% financing for 36 months on all commercial mowers, all John Deere, America's tractor. Grab a Gator if you have some hunting property. You just want to drive around the neighborhood with something sweet. 1.9% for 36 months. Compact tractors at 0% for 72 months. 5-series tractors, 0% for 84 months. And then all zero turns, you guessed it, 0% for 36 months. Offers run through August 4th. So head over to Scruggs, 3575 Tom Watson Drive in Saltillo. And then when you go, tell them that it was me that sent you there. All right. So we talked about game one and game two of the series on Friday. Game three, Ole Miss loses 6-2. You got an unfortunately bad outing from Townsend. He goes 3 2/3, gave up 5 runs, walked 3, and hit a batter as well. And then the bats didn't show up for Ole Miss. Only 4 hits on the day, scored 2 runs, but that is it. The 4 hits were Decker, Folly, Pano, and Topher Jones were the ones that had the hits in the game. And Ole Miss, I don't want to say non-competitive, but it was just a game in which they gave themselves no opportunity offensively to be in it. And they lose that, what felt like a must-win series to Alabama. And you saw again in game three. Now, it's a little bit nitpicky, but I think you guys understand what I'm talking about. When this team puts it all together, they can be very good. Pitching staff, good. Relievers, good. There are times where at the plate, they look like the New York Yankees. I mean, when they put it all together, this team has an incredibly high ceiling. They have a College World Series ceiling. But the reason that at times the radio audience has called me too critical, like, why are you being so hard on the team? They've done this, this, and this. And they have. It's a good baseball team. They played the toughest schedule in the SEC. They've played the, number 3 schedule in all of college baseball. So it's they're good, but what is preventing them from being consistently great anyway are things like what we talked about in game one of the series. You have a base running snafu, and then you have errors in the field, and that costs you. And then here in game three, I think they would have lost regardless, but you're doing things like you're pimping a home run that ends up not being a home run. And look, there's probably a chance that he ends up just on first base anyway, because Folly had to wait to make sure that that ball was either down or over the fence. But it's little things like that. And then you got thrown out trying to get second as well. So you cost yourself just by lack of focus or attention to detail, this team has not been particularly good in the field really all season. They're just not a good fielding baseball team for one reason or another. But they do things like that. Mike Bianco, even in his Monday interview, one of his Monday interviews on the radio show with us, said that it's a team that does stupid things. His word was stupid. And he's exactly right. Pimping a non-home run is just a lack of attention to detail and focus that ends up costing you. And they scored two runs in the inning, but when you do things like that in what feels like a must-win game at the very end of the season, that's the kind of stuff that keeps this team from, or has kept this team from, reaching its potential. Look down the schedule and tell me how many games that if they just field cleanly or whatever, they could have gone from, I mean, they need to make a deep run in Hoover to have an argument to host, to they'd be guaranteed hosting going into this tournament in Alabama, and it wouldn't even matter. The margins are razor thin, especially when you play a schedule as tough as theirs. But it's just things like that that, again, I know I'm nitpicking, but forgive my language. Get your ass down the first baseline. I don't think you should pimp home runs at all, really. I'm kind of a stick in the mud with that. But if you're going to do that, you better know that ball is going 400 feet, like over the fence into the student section, no doubt. If there is any doubt that it's not going over the fence, get down the line first. Or how about you just get down the line, and if it goes over the fence, then you can point and do all the stuff that they do in baseball now. Little things like that are what kept this team from being a guaranteed host going into this week in Hoover. So now they're going to Hoover. They are unfortunately playing the 9:30 a.m. game against Missouri. Ooh, that's a tough game to go to. If you're driving over for that one, you are a true fan, and I admire you. But the unfortunate part about that game when it comes to the hosting conversation, because now Ole Miss is 15-15, and there's been a lot of discussion about, well, they have played the number three schedule in college baseball. They didn't get to play Missouri during the season. They didn't get to play South Carolina during the season. I mean, their RPI is 15. They have zero quad three or quad four losses. Like, generally speaking, it's a hosting resume. And I understand that position. Like, it's a valid position. You've got other teams that are going to host, like Oregon State. I don't know what they did this weekend, but just as an example, they've been a team that's been slated to be a host, right? I have no idea what they did this weekend. But they have two quad one wins to Ole Miss's 11. Their strength of schedule is 61 to Ole Miss's 3. They have 6 quad 3 or quad 4 losses to Ole Miss's 0. Kansas might host, right? I wait usually until D1 and Baseball America put their projections out there, but I think I saved one earlier to just kind of give you an idea of stuff like this. When it comes to, okay, this is 11.7. Let's see. They have Kansas hosting, right? And I assume D1 and Baseball America are going to have Kansas hosting too. Here's Kansas's resume. Number 21 in the RPI, 68 strength of schedule, 2 fewer quad one wins than Ole Miss, and they have 2 quad four losses. They're 22-8 in the Big 12, though. They're slated to host. Oregon slated to host. One spot behind Ole Miss in the RPI, so they're 16. 34 strength of schedule, the same number of quad one wins. Oregon has 5 quad three and 4 losses. Again, Ole Miss has 0. So there's a discussion to be had there about what it should be, but what it should be doesn't matter. It's what it is. And right now, Ole Miss is technically 15-16 in the SEC because they have that loss in the Governor's Cup. And Missouri on Tuesday is really not going to help them at all. And teams that are 500 in conference play, in the SEC anyway, what, they've hosted one time? So there's not strong precedent for that to begin with. And this would be Mississippi's 3rd host. I keep repeating myself on that. It's a room full of suits. Maybe Jeremy McClain comes through for you guys. Ole Miss has given them too many reasons, despite what the metrics say, for them to not host. They didn't win the Governor's Cup. They're 500 in conference play. they will be the third Mississippi team to host, those kind of things. And maybe that doesn't matter. Maybe that's a stupid talking point, but I mean, you guys know this. They get cute with stuff like this. They have in the past anyway at times. And so anyway, in Missouri on Tuesday, even if they win that game, that one's not really going to help them at all. If they're going to give themselves an argument to host, they've really got to make a run here. That's what got Florida hosting at 500 in conference play. What they made a deep run in Hoover that year. So it's not totally off the table, but Missouri's not going to help. And I mean, if you beat Missouri, you certainly have to take beat Mississippi State as well. Could you imagine going 0-5 against Mississippi State in one season? That would not be an ideal situation. So they got to make a deep run. Unfortunate that this team did not come close to what their ceiling is, but look, it's the postseason now. They have the pitching, and they have at times the explosive offense to make a run. If they're a two seed, whatever one they get is going to be furious to see Taylor Rabe in game two. I mean, how many two seeds are going to present a guy with the kind of stuff that he's put on the field, especially the last couple of weeks? I mean, how many two seeds have a guy like that out there? Not many. So just because they didn't reach their ceiling in the regular season doesn't mean they can't do it in the postseason. But I think we should be having a different conversation today than we are. But they just kind of got in their own way. And so now they're playing Missouri on Tuesday morning in Hoover. We'll get to your comments after. I'll tell you about Logan Smith and Shelter Insurance. If you need insurance, auto, home, life, or insurance for your business, and you are in anywhere in Mississippi, if you're in this state and you need insurance, give them a call. 601-823-3500. 601-823-3500. And it's worth a 5-minute phone call, right? Sorry, I'm fumbling all over my words. Let me reset. Even if you don't need insurance, there you go, Michael. That's what you were trying to say. Even if you don't need insurance, it's still worth a 5-minute phone call. You will get better service, and you might like the quote that you get as well. So it's worth a phone call. Logan Smith, Shelter Insurance, 601-823-3500. Also, Priority One Bank, 16 locations in Mississippi. My goodness, professional talker, can't even talk. Priority One Bank, 16 locations in Mississippi. Local loan servicing and decision-making, online banking that's easy, fraud protection that is great. Ask me how I know, and you can bank with me. Switch and bank with me at Priority One Bank. And also Advantage Business Systems for all of your Mississippi office technology needs anywhere in Mississippi. If you need technology in your office, that's where you get it. Advantage Business Systems, absms.com. Tell everybody that I sent you there. I would appreciate that. All right. Unpopular opinion. Don't care if they host or not. Probably feel better as a two seed somewhere with a chip on their shoulder. I don't think they've earned a host. Now, they can make a deep run in Hoover. And look, hosting is better than not hosting, generally speaking. I would prefer they host for the city of Oxford. And I think the people of Oxford deserve that. The store owners and bars and restaurants and hotels and all that stuff that happens there. It would be better. I do wonder, though, if there would be a pressure off situation if they went on the road, because you guys created a great baseball environment. Don't tell me it wouldn't be a little bit antsy, though, especially after what happened last year. Maybe it is better if they just go on the road. I don't think they've earned it anyway, at least to this point. Your nephew picked up his first D1 offer from Ole Miss this morning. Hey, how about that? Awesome. Your nephew's a stud then if he's getting an SEC offer. Congratulations. Who would you put in the 8 and 9 hole in the lineup? I mean, we haven't seen him in a while. I don't know what the deal is, but I would give Randall more at bats, maybe as a DH or something. Especially if you're going to do the pinch hitting thing like they did in game one. Why did Randall, unless he's hurt, and I don't know. I don't know. So maybe he is, but surprised that he wasn't one of them that picked up a bat there. How many opportunities did they blow this year? All they needed was one more win to host. Yeah, I mean, think about the Arkansas game, for example. That one is a pretty brutal one. Let's see. I mean, Mississippi State, you had the Georgia doubleheader, game one of the Georgia doubleheader. That's just a brutal loss there. The Florida game where you hold them to two runs in game two and don't score a run that night. Missed opportunity there. Missed opportunity in game one against Mississippi State. Missed opportunity in game two against Kentucky. Now, that was a good series win, but you hold them to three runs at home. You should win games like that. So, yeah, you're exactly right. I mean, there are a lot of opportunities there, and they just couldn't capitalize. Hey, it's almost football season. Let's stop pretending we care about baseball. I mean, this fan base cares about baseball. Now, I am not full transparency, baseball is my least favorite sport of the big three. But I know how much you guys care about it. But you're not going to get, like, you know, the same kind of stuff that you get from Chase or Colin Ripp and those guys, just to be honest with you. But I know you guys want to hear it. I would want to do football 365 every day. And then when it's basketball season, when they're playing meaningful games, do basketball. That's my preference. That's what I would prefer to do. But you, the fan base at large, Rebel Landshark, wants baseball. And I've got to give it to them, even if it's not really like something that I'm super intense following the way that others do. And they do a great job. I would like to think we have good baseball back and forth Q&A conversations on here too. I would like to think we do a good job, but it's just, I'm with you. I would love to do football every day. It does get repetitive and monotonous though, really quickly. If you don't take breaks to do basketball or baseball and other stuff that comes up, you start saying the same things in like June. And you've got two more months of previewing before the actual season begins. You can really run out of things quickly. I would like to try, but, you know, anyway. Said it again. Can someone explain how a 15 SEC win team who has a top 15 RPI and top 3 strength of schedule isn't a host? They spread it around. That's why. They spread it around. It almost went 500 in conference play. I don't think teams that go 500 in conference play should. I know it's different, apples to oranges, but there's a reason that I am very against the college football playoff expanding to 24 teams. Because you can have a big, like Michigan State. Let's see what. Let me look at the Big Ten helmet schedule. Because the Big Ten does not have the Power Six requirement. Now, some teams do play it, but look at the last three national champions and their non-conference schedule. It's horrendous. Here's Indiana's this year. North Texas, Howard, and Western Kentucky. Those are three non-conference games. Maryland's playing Virginia Tech. Good on them. Iowa plays Iowa State. Michigan's playing Oklahoma. Michigan State's playing Notre Dame. Goodness. But Nebraska. Perfect example. This is why I'm against this right here is why I'm against the 2014 playoff. Nebraska can beat Ohio, Bowling Green, and North Dakota, and then go 5-4 in conference play and make the playoff. Nebraska schedules Ohio, Bowling Green, North Dakota at Michigan State, Maryland, Indiana at Oregon, Washington at Illinois, at Rutgers, Ohio State, and at Iowa. If in the 2014 playoff, if they go 8-4, they will be in the conversation to make the playoff. Straight up, they will. And so I do think there needs to be some kind of, I mean, I know your conference is tough, but you didn't win enough games in your conference. I know it's apples to oranges. I know it is. But at the present, Ole Miss lost more quote-unquote conference games than they've won this season. That's why they do that. Now, I agree with you. If Kansas played Ole Miss's schedule, they wouldn't even be involved in this. It wouldn't even be in the conversation at all. So I'm with you. I hear you. I'm just that's how it is. It's going to come down to Ole Miss in Texas for your nephew. Nice. Throw my midweek guy against Missouri and then throw Elliot against State. Yeah, that's, I mean, I don't think you throw Elliot on Tuesday. I think that would be, even though he pitched Thursday. I mean, how many pitches did he throw on Thursday? It was a lot too, right? Let's see. 97. Yeah, no, you don't throw Hunter Elliott on Tuesday, I don't think. Unfortunately, they're an anemic offense at times, had four hits in the whole game, and three of them were in one inning. In an inning that should have gone longer if they were smarter, or could have anyway. Just want to say that it takes so much longer to clean up a mess than it does to create one. I say this in regard to the last couple of episodes. Yeah. Goodness. Goodness. I cannot talk tonight. What's wrong with my brain, boys? Like dispelling or debunking to all the people who buy it hook, line, and sinker. Literally had a guy on Twitter say to me, imagine supporting Ole Miss. That's not a total waste of time. I will say this, though, because obviously this gets brought up on the radio show a lot. This is a big talking point around here about, well, you know, they should troll with who does the pregame, are you ready? And Hate had suggested Ole Miss get juice and put juice on the sidelines. And it's a funny suggestion. And, you know, people talking about the band playing neck again if they win like they did last year, which, if you guys remember, I was very against that. I think it's that chant inside of a stadium is on to me, it's unacceptable. I literally, this is a very true story. I know people roll their eyes at the think of the kids thing, but I had my 5-year-old at the time with me at the Ole Miss LSU game last year. And when neck got played and the chant was happening, he asked me what they said. And look, I know that, you know, hottie toddy has bad words in it too. And I have to explain that, but all of that conversation, I think, is losing the plot a little bit. And this week is a perfect example for what I'm talking about. Look at the difference in responses that you got from him and what he said and how the media responded, and then Ole Miss not really firing back. I know Keith Carter put a tweet out there, but it was pretty vague. Don't interrupt your enemy when they're making a mistake, number one. So Ole Miss, because we had some people say, well, why isn't Ole Miss fighting back? Why are they not fighting back? Because the more of those interviews he does, the worse he looks. And you got, with the exception of losers with burner Twitter accounts that get involved in that, and then people that cover LSU, it was universally, what is he doing? This is dumb. He looks dumb. This is bad. He shouldn't be doing this. So just don't insert yourself in that. Be above that. And I think you should apply that context to the game as well. Because as I tell you all the time, people are going to go there looking to see things they've never seen before. They're going to go there hoping. They're going to go there hoping that stuff gets thrown on the field and hoping that there are fights. Every person with a YouTube channel or a stream or whatever is going to go there. Barstool's going to show up. You know that they are. They're already talking about having the Tate guy follow Mintz around at the thing. Everybody with a camera or a platform is going to go there because they want you to act like losers. That's what they want. So they can film it and put it on Twitter and put it on TikTok and say, hey, look at how crazy this is. Oh my gosh, is Lane Kiffin safe? Is he the people at the ESPN station in Baton Rouge putting a column out about, well, they're not going to move the game, but should they talk about moving the game? Like that's the kind of stuff that people want you to be. That's how they want you to act. Don't stoop to that level. Don't get petty. Create an amazing environment. Be intense. All that stuff. But when you start engaging in the petty garbage, when you start acting like trash, you're going to get talked about as if you're trash. You know what I mean? again, I'm not saying don't create an environment that's the most intense environment, because that's going to happen, right? But everybody is going to go there looking to make you look bad. I'm going to repeat that 100 times this offseason. That is their goal. Nobody's going to cover that fairly. They're going to cover, look at how insane this is. I'm telling you, you're going to have, they're already talking about it. You're going to have people going there looking for something. Don't give in to that. It's another football game. It's a very important football game. It's a big one. But if you turn it into a circus, people will treat you like the clowns. Don't stoop to that level. Ole Miss did not stoop to that level this week and came out looking good. That needs to continue to be the messaging moving forward, is be above that kind of stuff. You're above that. Be above that. That's preachy, I know, but anyway, I'll say this: with the Memphis Grizzlies ownership playing footsie with Nashville, I have a solution for everyone. If the Grizzlies are dead set on getting out of downtown Memphis, then why don't they do what the Bears did in the NFL, completely renovate the arena in Olive Branch and move there? Oh, there's a 0% chance that would happen. I would love the Grizzlies to move to Mississippi. There's 0% chance. Anyone that says you are too critical on baseball doesn't understand Ole Miss baseball. I mean, Swayze is built to host, not supposed to be okay with 500 despite strength of schedule. Thoughts on yesterday's softball game? Yeah, I did see that. A lot of discussion about that. I mean, leaving a pitcher in to give up an 8-run lead is a very questionable decision. I mean, you really only needed one out there at the end, and you just let that ride. And maybe there's no, I'd be lying to you if I said I was nuanced on the roster. So maybe there was no better option there in that spot. I don't know. I also don't know what her contract is. Let me see if it'll come up on Google. Okay, so $250,000 is what comes up on Google AI, which who knows how real that is. But however many years are left on that, people are talking about that being a fireable offense. She got some kind of extension in 2024 is what is coming up. Let's see. What are softball coach salaries? Patty Gasso at Oklahoma is making almost $2 million. Holy crap. That's insane. I mean, she wins. But let's see where that ranks. This is from 2024, so I don't know how up to date it is. So she is 1, 2, 3, 4th from the bottom in the SEC in salary, for whatever that's worth to you. But if there's any amount of buyout in that contract, I mean, they made a really deep run last year. You don't need the, no. You do not burn money like that to change softball coaches, especially when the program's not like, they're not bad. So no, that should not be, and I don't think is on the table at all. Because what, they went to the World Series last year. So just a bad day. Watched one of the Alabama Ole Miss games. What were those digital camo looking uniforms? Love the Ole Miss plain Jane looking ones that they were wearing, so much better. Ole Miss does do a military appreciation one, though. I like that. How you doing? We all love you. You doing all right? Yeah, I'm doing fine. I appreciate that. I love your check-ins, man. Thank you. Yeah, well, it's all good over here. Should wear navy gray uniforms that night just for the memes. No, powder red gray. That's uniform. If it's anything else, I might get mad. And that's like, I might send Keith Carter a text like, how are you allowing this? I know the players vote on that, but like, you're the boss, man. Lane gets what he wants. If it's crazy, Pete would want everyone just to treat it like a normal game and don't say anything after Ole Miss kicks them up and down the field. Stay away from the Grove. See that, but that's, I hate that messaging though, because it doesn't have to be that way. What you hope, and what I, again, I'm a very repetitive person, but there are going to be people that are going to come in just looking for confrontation. I'm not talking about like YouTube people either, or Barstool or whatever. I'm talking about dudes who are just going to drive in from DeSoto County or whatever that have no affiliation, that are just going to come looking for a fight. You hope that the extra security and police presence will dispatch of those people rather quickly. And otherwise, it can be just another really awesome day, you know? Need Eli that night in the stadium? Oh, I'd be surprised if he'd miss that. Kiffin's going to be one heck of a 30 for 30 next year. Imagine if the Rebs won or win the Natty, that could be made into a movie. The problem is, I don't think you're going to have enough people that are going to be willing to talk on record about enough to make it actually interesting, if that makes sense. I don't know how deep you can go yet, but maybe one day you can. Patrick Willis should have his jersey number retired against LSU. Agree with you about the Ring of Honor instead of retiring numbers, but nobody wears 49 anyway, and he's a Hall of Famer, so why not? Yeah, you know me. I would get rid of, I would end the practice of jersey retirements. You're not going to unretire a jersey, especially when the ones that you have retired are so incredibly important to the fabric of the program. But I would install a Ring of Honor right away. That would be the next thing that I would do. It could really enhance the look of that press box as well to begin with. And that needs just more on it. Doesn't look good right now. Frankly, it looks kind of cheap. That would help that. And also, a lot of players deserve to have their names on the stadium. Hottest or coldest game in Oxford you've ever been to? The 2013 Missouri game. Coldest game I've ever been to. I told my date to the game, because we did that. Date to the game. Should have just gone with the boys, but oh well. I told her the night before and the morning of, it's going to be freezing. Like, you're going to freeze your ass off, all right? So prepare for that. She was late, not to the game, but she was late, and then shows up to the Grove wearing like just a regular like game day dress. And the second I saw her, I just rolled my eyes. I was like, you're screwed. Just so you know. We get to the stadium, sit down. Like, there's like an hour before kickoff still. But we sit down and she looks at me and she's like, can we go and watch the game at the library, is what she said. And I said no. And she lasted like a quarter, and then she and one of her friends left, and we stopped talking after that. So, hottest was the season kickoff in 2016, only time you've ever seen people pass out in heat exhaustion. Coldest ULM in 2008. Oh, wow. Nothing's wrong with DeSoto County. I love our friends in DeSoto County. That's just where that LSU fan came from at the baseball game, right? That's the only reason why I said DeSoto County. If he's from somewhere else, I apologize. But that's why I said that, is because that guy, with no affiliation to LSU, is an LSU fan, shows up to start trouble. No, I love my friends in DeSoto County. Great people up there. But that's where that guy came from. That's where that guy came from. That's all I meant. But anyway. All right, guys. I got to hang it up. I really appreciate you. We'll be live on Tuesday night. We will have a baseball game to talk about then. And maybe we'll be previewing a Mississippi State game the next day. We shall see. But really appreciate you. Enjoy the rest of your weekend. And I'll talk to you guys on Tuesday.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.